And I have to run after the service back to my church because I left my poor wife with my responsibilities as marriage ministry director. But anyway, let's open up the service or this time before the sermon in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you because you are truly the beloved one. You are the true heart of worship. It is, has been, it will be all about you, Lord Jesus. So we come before you with a heart of thanksgiving and joy and even an honor that we can even adore you this way, to worship you, to open your word, to long to see and to learn what you have prepared for us in your truth. May the Spirit guide us, open our minds and our hearts to how incredibly loving you are, how great and mighty you are. Open our hearts and our minds to the incredible, unfathomable sacrifice that you made on the cross for us. That our sins are truly forgiven, that we are free, we are set free, not to do everything that we want, but free now to follow you, which brings about the greatest amount of joys that we can ever imagine. Lord God, we come before you asking that not men speak or our minds work, but we proclaim the work of the Holy Spirit as we worship you and in truth and in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. All right. Today we're going to talk about the Lord's table, just a little bit from a different perspective. Welcome. Whoa, we just doubled in size. It's a miracle. And our verse for today is from Mark. All right. So Jeff was so kind to read from 1 Corinthians 11. So we're going to read from Mark 14, 22 to 26 about the Lord's Supper as well. So let's read together, all right? While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they said, "This is my body of the covenant, which is poured out for many." He said this to them. May God bless the reading of his word. And I think you all have heard the profound truth of what the Lord's table means. All right? It was the time of nearing the Passover. All right? And he was having a meal with his disciples. And this is a reminder that God's kingdom, it was about his profound and incredible miracles. They were miraculous and astounding. Feeding of the 5,000 plus, healing of the sick. But God's kingdom and Jesus' work was also found in his profound, simple truth over a simple meal. All right? God's kingdom is so expansive, it bridges miracles, but it also touches the intimate. When you and I have a meal with somebody, usually it's an intimate exchange. We don't usually, well, somebody, maybe you might, but you usually don't have dinner with your enemy. At least it would not be a fun one, all right? But Jesus was showing this incredible, profound intimacy with us through the Lord's table as well. All right, and it is an incredible reminder that you have every single week, all right, of the profound sacrifice that was given for you. And I would tell you, sometimes I don't get it, that why do we have it every single week? But when I look at this passage, I go, wow, we should have it every day. And I hope that you will feel that way by the end of this message, all right? Because anything, all right, anything that reminds us of the great love of our Lord Jesus Christ and his great sacrifice for you and for me deserves everyday attention. But I'm going to unpack this passage a little bit differently today. We're going to look at it from what the symbol of the bread was. This shows the greatest truth that how much the Lord loves us. But it also shows a parallel truth of what God is doing in your life. All right? Next slide. Okay. Go back. Well, you can see what's happening to the bread. You guys, what is happening to the bread? It is being what? Broken. Okay. So I'm going to bring you four simple words that hopefully will remind you of the Lord's Supper and the parallel truth of how God is working in our lives. The first word is, all right, first Jesus had to do what? Before he break the bread, he had to take the bread. He chose the bread. He took the bread. All right? And as many of you, some of you, was this the first week of school? Right, for some of you, right? Some of you, all right, in this week, many of you guys are struggling with, you know, is somebody going to notice me? Is somebody going to, you know, like, pick me? All right? Would I be outstanding? All right? Have you ever been in a basketball game and you always wonder, is anybody going to pick me? All right? Well, I know. Me, I know. Short. I'm very leery of that. Who's going to pick me? All right? So how, and many of you going back to school, will you think that you would measure up? All right? And the world chooses us, takes us, picks us, sometimes based on our looks, based on our intelligence, based on our GPA, all right? Based on where we have worked, based on who we know, the world picks us. Based on some of your athletic skill, they chose you. But Jesus takes you, chooses you, not based on all those factors. He chooses you. He takes you based on his love for you. He takes you. He chose you. That is significant. When you think that you are chosen, all right, you are picked specially. It makes, I hope it lifts up your spirit. I'll give you this silly example, which I often do. I have an older brother. If you have met him, maybe Jose has. He's taller. He's better looking. All right? He's just a little bit better in all measures, okay? And I'm his tag-along brother, all right? We play basketball, all right? His friends are tall, all right? My brother's tall. He's pretty tall for Asian guys, 5'10", 5'11", all right? You know? Yeah, I know. Looking at me, you're not going to see it, right? But he was, 5'10", 5'11", all right? We go out and play basketball in the schoolyard. All right, and he knows I'm the runt of the litter of the basketball team. You know, when we split up size in the courtyard, all right, and my brother, because he's athletic, he's usually one of the captains, all right, and then they will start choosing size. The other captain would pick somebody. My brother would pick somebody. Then, always, by the end of the draft, he would pick me in the middle, not the last, but the middle. I know he's not perfect. He's not Jesus, right? But he demonstrated. He did, okay? Jesus would pick me first, but he picked me in the middle. Right? I would hope that it's based on his love for me. Maybe some pity, but mostly hopefully love. All right? And he picks me. Jesus, God, chose and picked you. He has picked you, chosen you. He's taken you. The Lord's Supper is reflecting a parallel truth of what God is doing in your life. And the next passage. Okay, next. Okay. Oops. Ah, it's gone. Well, basically, in 1 Peter says that you are royal priests chosen, a royal nation, all right? You've been specially picked, all right? You've been set apart. You have been holy, all right? Because of the love of Jesus. Not because, again, the merits of our acts, even though our acts does merit something, but not his love. He simply picks you because of his love for you. Right? And then the next word. What does Jesus do with the bread after he takes the bread? He has taken you. What's the next word, do you think? That's okay. What's the next word, do you think? After Jesus has taken the bread, what's the next word? Just before that one.
Give thanks.
Ah, yes, give thanks. Yes. He gives thanks. Basically, he blesses the bread. He blesses the bread. All right? And our limited understanding of blessing is, oh, something good happens. When the politician says, God bless America, right? They're saying, whoa, may God prosper America. May God make us better than the other nations. May we have more resources than the other nations. But I think we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, need to expand what it means to be blessed. All right? Sometimes we think, oh, you know, when good things happen to us, we are blessed. When we find a parking spot before church on Queens Boulevard, ooh, you are truly blessed. New traffic patterns, you're not going to. You are blessed. No, I'm just kidding. You are lucky. All right? But to be blessed, what does it mean to bless? All right? To be blessed is to have words spoken over you of affirmation, that you are approved of, that you are beloved, that you are sought after, you are blessed when somebody says to you, it is great that you exist. You are blessed. And God is trying to say that to you every single day. Oh, it never coming back?
Yeah.
All right. My old age, my memory can't go that far. Then, what it means to be blessed is that you are affirmed. That it's good that you exist. Even our Lord Jesus Christ needed to be blessed. Do you remember when our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized? All right? When he came out of the water, there was a voice of God saying, what did the voice of God say? This is my son, who I am proud of, who I am well pleased with. Word spoken, affirmation over our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ needed that blessing too. We need to be blessed. We need to be blessed as well. God is coming to us, trying to affirm us, trying to bless us every single day. Did you know that? But you know what's the problem often with me and with you? We are too busy to receive God's blessing. It's so sad. We're trying to grasp for all the blessings ourselves. We're trying to make and create good opportunities for ourselves. And we forget that we already are blessed and that every day God is longing to affirm and bless us. Henry Nouwen says, all right, that the problem with the modern world is that often we're so busy to be blessed. And this is the sad thing. Since we are so busy that we don't receive God's blessing, we're too busy to bless others. Isn't that so sad? I give you this one example. All right, this is Holy Seminary School, right? So this class, the professors or the administrator decided to do an experiment on the holy, very spiritual seminary students. So they took two class, all right? And both class started at the same time, okay? And after that class, all right, both class had to go across the campus, right, and preach, actually. They had a preaching assignment, the whole class, right? And then, but one of the classes, they kind of delayed a little bit. And they said, you are running late. They just told one of the classes that you're running late, all right? So both classes took off. And in the path was a person who needed help, who needed help from the students, all right? The class that thought they were on time versus the class that knew they were late, guess what was the result? And these are seminary students, all right? So they felt busy. They felt they were late. We often feel we're late. And that class that was late, the percentage of people who helped that person in need dropped more than 50%. Just because we're so much in a hurry to receive a blessing, we forget to give a blessing. So, the first word, God has chosen you, has taken you based on his great love. Secondly, he speaks a blessing over you. He wants to affirm all and each and every one of you. It is great that you exist. You are a holy nation, chosen people of his. You are his beloved. You need to pause and receive that. Yes, we know that we all messed up. I do, all right? We all fall short. But we come back and we bring our shortcoming to this incredible loving God. When we confess to him, we exchange it for his love, which is a blessing. When we confess it, you come with a little guilt, but you surrender that guilt to him. You confess to him, all right, and receive his blessing. Oh my, what an exchange. That's a symbolic of the great exchange. You give him your brokenness, he gives you his blessings. Okay. Next. All right. So here it goes. This is Henry Nouwen's quote. Just good. He had a suggestion. Suggestions for claiming your blessedness is to cultivate. It's a cultivation of patience. By patience, I mean attentiveness to the blessings that come to you day after day, year after year. The problem of modern living is that we are too busy looking for affirmation in the wrong places to notice that we are being blessed. It has become extremely difficult for us to stop, listen, pay attention, and receive gratefully what is offered to us. Henry Nouwen. So that sometimes means that you have to put down your phones and look up and see that there's so many opportunities to be blessed and opportunities to bless, right? We are taken. We are blessed. And now, yes, everybody wants to be taken. Everybody wants to be blessed. But none of us wants to be broken. But that's another profound gift, that God breaks us. Yes, he breaks us. Oftentimes, we do go astray like sheep. And he allows us to be broken. And sometimes he does break us. Not because he's uncaring. It's because actually out of his great love. Sometimes the most profound discoveries are found in our brokenness when we are suffering. Some of the closest friends that I've shared are forged, and the deepest truths come out when I'm going through trials, when I'm broken, when I have nothing but my Lord Jesus Christ to run to. Think about that statement. When I'm broken, I have nothing left, but I still have Lord Jesus. When I can run to him, that itself is a gift. Nobody likes the process. I don't. But you and I who live in New York City, who live on this earthly sod, brokenness is all around us, right? You can't run away from it. The world tells you to medicate it, The world tells you to distract yourself out of it. The world tells you to deny it. But no, we as brothers and sisters in Christ say, no, we're going to embrace our brokenness. Embrace that sometimes life hurts. But in our hurts and in our longings that are not met, there is a person that we can run to, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And then sometimes in our brokenness, maybe it shakes us loose of the things that we think that fulfill us, but does not. All right? You think a relationship will make you totally happy sometimes, right? I did, I shared with you. I thought if I had a girlfriend, I'd be one happy boy. Not true. I am happy, but that does not fulfill me. All right? I thought if I got married, that'll be better than having a girlfriend. Not true. That did not totally fulfill me. I'm not saying my marriage is great, but that is not the total fulfillment. There are still letdowns in my marriage, and I face the brokenness of my own marriage. And when I face the brokenness of my own marriage and the needs of that which are not met, and I accept it, actually I find joy. I find deeper love. I don't clench my fist at God anymore. I am not complaining to my sister and everybody else. I'm not grumpy anymore. I accept my brokenness. And when I accept my brokenness in my dating relationship, I accept my brokenness in my marriage relationship, something miraculously happens. I'm much more relaxed. I'm much more joyful. When I receive the Lord, said, this is the lot that I have for me now. And when I do that, a blessing comes out of it. Sometimes God breaks us so goodness can come out. Another analogy. What's the most valuable part of a nut? You have the seed inside. But sometimes to get to the good stuff, you have to crack it, break it, to get to the good stuff, the nutrients, that you can share with great richness. You don't want to give, oh, buddy, you want some shell? No. Sometimes in the brokenness, the pistachio comes out. Oh, I like pistachio better than nuts, right? I do. I'm just saying. All right? So sometimes we need to be broken, right? So the goodness of God can actually come out. Redeeming truth. We're taken. We are blessed. We are broken. He was broken for us. And lastly, okay. That's it. What's a natural outpour of being taken, blessed, and broken? What did Jesus do lastly? Given. Right? So now out of that, it seems to have a very beautiful flow. After we know that we're chosen, after we know we are affirmed and blessed, we know that redemptive work is being made when we are broken. All right? Now we can give. Then we are called to give. We are called to give of ourselves. All right? When we are taken, blessed, broken, we have something to give to the world. Right? The Lord's table, if we experience it that way, if we experience His taking us, loving us, His blessing us, He's breaking us. Now when we relate to one another, when we have, now we're giving it, we give something genuine away. We give something profound, not just a simple conversation, but a deep conversation. Not a simple love, but a really connected love. How are we going to touch the world? It's because we are dining at the Lord's table. We are cooperating with God's redemptive work of being taken, blessed, broken, and given. It doesn't stop at just receiving. When we let it flow, when we give ourselves, It is what Christ did for us. He gave of himself. And when we get stuff, all right? Yes, the world tells us you get so you can have. No. God's economy is that when we get, we give. We share. We give. All right? And we give of ourselves. All right? In this manner, all right, your life will actually become richer. Okay? For the example is in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. When we give in this manner, we model our life a little bit closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And in the giving, all right, there is fullness. So, how does that relate to us in a way? How are we going to touch the world? How are we, well, for me, maybe it's about touching the world, but how do I even have great relationship with my father or my sister or my coworkers at church, all right? How do we touch people at school? How do we make statements? How do we bridge racial economic barriers? How can we change the world? We change the world by being changed people. We can only change if we have experienced change. We can only help people if we have received help. And this is why the Lord's table is so important. We can't do this alone. If you are not remembering that it is our Lord that who empowers you to even have any type of spiritual growth, that it starts with the loving act of our Lord Jesus Christ being the bread of life broken for you. He is the supernatural meal. He is the supernatural meal that you and I need to feed on, or we will run on empty. If we do not feed of Jesus, we will be fractured, disconnected, discontent, confused, disfocused. That's a lot of words, but I almost guarantee you, if you try to fill your own soul without Jesus, you will be fractured and empty. And this is why I get kind of more energized or excited when I come to the Lord's table. It reminds me that Jesus was the bread of life, broken, our beloved broken for us. And out of that profound truth, that I know that he has taken me, that he has blessed me, that he has broken me, and he has given me. And I can come back to the Lord's table and says, Lord, you have done those things first. You were broken for me. And you were given for me. And so every time you take the bread and drink the wine, do it in remembrance of him. And if we do it, all right, I pray that you will be empowered, encouraged, all right, to live this life of being taken, blessed, broken, and given. So may the Spirit remind you every single time, all right, when you take the bread, examine yourself. Not when you examine yourself, you know you're going to find that you have fallen short. But I think the most important exam is, do you realize what the Lord has done for you? And remember that as you live out your life as a blessing to others. Let us pray. Lord God, we start off with crying out to you that we can't live this life. We cannot make an impact in our families, in our school, in our workplace, or even change our relationships without acknowledging that you first have paid a great price, that out of your profound, incredible, great love, that you allow yourself to be broken for us. So our sins no longer captivate us. Our sins no longer define us. We, your people, are now defined by your love, by your sacrifice. And we run towards the Lord's table with a heart of thanksgiving, with a profound profession of your great love, of our need for you, and our surrender of our sins to you. We will find strength. I pray that we will live out this truth, that we can actually be a reflection of your grace and mercy to the world. Allow this truth of that you have taken us, chosen us, that you have so affirmed us and blessed us that the world cannot even understand, that you have broken us for our own good and for the world's good, that now we have something deep to give away that leads to all eternity. We give you thanks for the truth of the Lord's table, the profound symbol that sets us all free. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.